Hello there, and welcome to another episode of Strewn Along the Path. Yes, I'm still on the road. I'm going on a long trip for work. I'm driving about 8 hours, so I'm trying to get some podcasting in as I go. So, unfortunately, you'll continue to hear the car background noise. But that's the way it goes here on the Strewn Along the Path show most of the time. So I'm going to try something here. I've been talking about all the superhero shows, and I've gotten into way too much detail and, doing one at a time, slowly going through these things. And, there's other TV shows that I can talk about, but I'm going to jump back over to movies for this episode. And I'm going to do a Netflix Q episode similar to what I was thinking I would do originally. And so I have a list here of my Netflix Q history. Now, this is the DVDs that you can still get over Netflix. So we have the streaming service, but we still get the DVDs because for some reason they're not all available streaming, which in my opinion they should be, but I don't know about how the rights work and all that. So there have been things and movies that I've watched on Instant that we've streamed on Netflix, but I don't have a history of that. I don't know if that even exists, if there is a queue of those or a history that you can look at. So anyway, this is going to be kind of like, remember when I did the superhero marathon, I kind of did a lightning round of all the superhero movies that came out since, I don't know, Superman or whatever. This is going to kind of be like that. I'm just going to go through this list of movies. Some of them that, we rented or we got from Netflix, but I didn't actually watch. The kids or my wife watched it without me. So I'll name them, but I'll just skip over that pretty quick. All right, so I didn't really want to watch this, but my wife kind of wanted to see what Independence Day Resurgence was like. Independence Day, the movie, kind of has some significance to our relationship, I guess. The first date that I ever went on with my wife back in 96... was 1996 was we went to Red Lobster and then we went to see Twister in the theaters. And I don't know, was it that same year that Independence Day came out? Probably was. And we had seen that in the theaters, and I had seen Independence Day before her. And there's a scene in Independence Day where Brett Spiner's character is doing an autopsy on one of the aliens, and it wakes up, and it's a big jump scare moment, and eventually takes over his body and communicates with everybody through this doctor character that Brett Spiner played. Anyway, so when I went to the movie with my wife, and I was just waiting for that moment. I wanted to see her jump. And so I was just waiting. And yes, I was rewarded. She did jump. And I just kind of chuckled and told her later that I was just waiting for that that moment. So anyway, and then when we got married, and when we went on our honeymoon, we went on a cruise ship. And for not the whole trip, but for a day or so at least, my wife wasn't feeling very well. She had a big headache from being on the boat, I guess, and so we stayed quite a bit in the cabin other than when we left the boat to go to various destinations. And there was movie channels that played in our cabin. You couldn't get regular TV, but they played some movies. But the two movies that they played the most over and over again was Twister and Independence Day. so there's kind of that history of us with that movie. But I really had no desire to see Independence Day Resurgence. I was a little bit curious of how they did it, but not enough to definitely go to the theaters. And if I ever saw it on DVD, it didn't really matter to me. But she was interested. She wanted to see it, so we rented it. And our younger kids had never seen the first movie, Independence Day. And so we showed them a little bit of that because I wasn't home yet or something like that. So they did see a little bit of Independence Day before we watched the sequel. And yeah, the sequel wasn't very good. There wasn't the newness of it. The thing that made Independence Day so successful is it was a new concept. You know, it was the new blockbuster. You know, buildings were being destroyed, the White House and the Washington Monument too, and L.A. and all over the world. You know, these landmark buildings were being destroyed, and this alien threat seemed real, and we had, you know, Will Smith as a hotshot pilot, and we had Dennis Quaid as this barnstormer pilot, and in a Winnebago, you know, that had been abducted by aliens years ago. And just, you know, there was the comedic character, and you had, what's his name? Jeff Goldblum as the scientist guy that kind of figured out it was a countdown to something. And you know, there was some interesting characters there, and it was fun, and it was new, it was kind of exciting. Punching the alien and saying, "Welcome to Earth." You know, that was just kind of it was all kind of fun and new. And since then, and of course, Roland Emmerich has gone on to make, you know, countless movies like that with all this special effects and things being destroyed. And, you know, we've had Man of Steel, where, you know, whole cities were destroyed, Star Trek Into Darkness, and, you know, it's nothing new now. This new movie, Resurgence, you know, definitely doesn't have any of that new factor. And the characters, you know, Will Smith didn't come back. You know, obviously he didn't see much gain in that movie. They did have, Liam Hemsworth and, what's his name? Michael B. Jordan as kind of the hotshot pilots. And, you know, they tried to come up with an interesting backstory there. And you have Brent Spiner back as the doctor. And he's kind of was in a coma or something. And he comes out of that and he, you know, starts helping with the situation. And then there's this moon base that... there, you know, because essentially they've learned from the technology of the aliens, and so the world has changed. You know, there's flying cars, there's all this new technology, and that so they're building this defense mechanism on the moon using the same laser or energy technology that the aliens used against them, and they're doing all these things, and so that's kind of an interesting thing. But then we learn that the aliens are coming back. And there's this probe thing that comes, and they are so scared about aliens that they attack it. But it's actually an enemy to the aliens that came the first time. And once they learn that, anyway, I don't want to go into the whole story. But there is this giant queen alien that comes in a ship that's, you know, 10 times the size of any of the ships that came the first show. And I don't know. There's some interesting parts to it. But yeah, it's just old, used stuff. You know, of course, Jeff Goldblum came back and was researching things and, you know, saw the threat coming again. And Bill Pullman was back. He's not the president anymore, but, you know, he has nightmares and senses that they're going to come back. And his plot was kind of interesting. You know, his daughter now works for the president. Old Munchkin grew up, and she's a pretty young woman who's, you know, comrades with Michael B. Jordan and Liam Hemsworth, and, you know, who's, I think Michael B. Jordan is the son of Will Smith's character from the first movie, and those kinds of things. But, you know, to tell you the truth, the most entertaining part of that movie was Judd Hirsch. You know, he was good in the first one. He plays Jeff Goldblum's dad, and he was kind of the comic relief. Well, him and Dennis Quaid in the first movie. And the parts I enjoyed most about Resurgence was Judd Hirsch in his car, and he meets up with this group of teenagers or whatever that are on their own, and they're trying to survive. And,
You know, he's trying to encourage them, and he was trying to sell a book that he wrote about how he saved the world. And so that was, to me, the most entertaining part of the whole movie was Jed Hirsch's story, and he's in very little of it. So, of course, he gets there at the end when everything's happening, and they're fighting against the Queen Alien. So, yeah, it was okay. I mean, I'm glad I didn't pay very much for it, but... yeah, if I hadn't seen it, I wouldn't have missed much. So anyway, there's that movie. And then next on the list here we have... Oh, this has been on our queue for a long time. This was Doctor Who, the movie. This was, I can't even remember the year. 86, maybe? They tried to, restart Doctor Who to be on American television. Because it you know, had been on the BBC for years, since 1965 or whatever, and they had gone through six or seven doctors at that point. And I think the last one, oh, I can't remember his name. He played Rastigat or whatever in the Hobbit movies. Oh, what's his name? Anyway, he was the doctor with the hat, the kind of the little... Not straw hat. Anyway, he had kind of a little suit with question marks on it or whatever. He had been the last doctor to play in the BBC version. So he reprised his role at the beginning of this movie. So it was a TV movie. And I guess at that point in the series, he had defeated the Master, who's kind of his arch nemesis in the Doctor Who series. And he was going to bring his remains back to Gallifrey. But somehow the Master is still alive, kind of as this, I don't know how you describe it, this liquid worm kind of thing or whatever. And he escapes and causes havoc with the TARDIS, and it crash lands in San Francisco. And as soon as Doctor Who steps out of the TARDIS, he's shot. Because it's right in the middle of an alley where this gang is threatening this kid or whatever in the alley. And they have guns and everything. So he steps out of the TARDIS and gets shot and is going to die. And, of course, an ambulance comes and takes him to the hospital. Of course, they don't know anything about it. They don't realize he has two hearts. Even though they see it in the X-ray, they think it's a mistake. And the doctor that operates on him, you know, pokes an artery or directly into his heart or something like that. And so he dies on the table, and they put him in the morgue. And then, of course, you know, if you know Doctor Who, you know, when he dies, he regenerates into a different version of the Doctor. And so that's what happened when he's tucked away in the morgue, he regenerates into, I can't think of the actor's name, but an American actor, Paul McGann or something like that, I think is the name of the actor. But he really doesn't know what's going on. Meanwhile, the Master has possessed the body of one of the cops or one of the... Yeah, I think it was a cop. And, you know, he's planning to take over the TARDIS and open up... There was a bunch of lore that I had never heard before. I don't know if it came from the BBC series or if it was new for this TV movie. But anyway, the doctor becomes friends with the surgeon that was trying to save his life, and convinces her who he is or whatever, and then kind of remembers what was going on and that they're fighting the Master. And I can't remember for the life of me right now who the Master is played by. I think it's a famous guy. But anyway, if I remember, I'll chuck it in here. So anyway, it was an interesting take on the Doctor, and I think it was supposed to try to be a backdoor pilot or something to have Doctor Who run on American television, but it must not have done well or something like that, because that never did become a show on American television other than that TV movie. But I'd never seen it. You know, it's kind of the bridge between the old BBC show and then when they restarted it, whenever that was. Was it 2010 when they restarted it with Eccleston as the Doctor? Then, of course, it was David Tennant and Matt Smith, and now, don't ask me his name, the new Doctor, the older Doctor. And, of course, I've enjoyed that series. So I just kind of wanted to see that bridge between the two. I'd still like to go back and watch a lot of Doctor Who's from the, you know, the 1970s and 80s and even the 60s, probably. My wife watched Doctor Who a lot when she was younger, the Tom Baker version. So she has a lot of fond memories of Doctor Who. So she enjoyed it. And she kind of remembered watching this movie when she was younger as well. And so anyway, that was kind of fun to watch. The kids are into Doctor Who also. So they watched it. And they were kind of interested. Or they thought it was interesting. But of course, they like the newer series. I think their favorite is Matt Smith. They seem to, when they watch Doctor Who, they kind of go back to those Matt Smith episodes with Amelia Pond and all that stuff. They like that version the best, I think. Or my favorite is David Tennant. Let's see. And this is going to take a while, so I'm going to have to break this up into several episodes. Oh, here we go. Here's a good one. I mean, I like the Doctor Who one, too. But The Magnificent Seven, we watched that. It's the newer version with Denzel Washington and Chris Pratt. And that was a really good movie. You know, I don't watch a lot of Westerns anymore. Of course, there's not a lot of Westerns on playing in the theaters anymore. But I really liked this one. I thought this was really good. You know, I watched True Grit a few years ago. And I thought that was a good show. But I thought this one was better. I just kind of liked the feel of it. You know, I have watched the original Magnificent Seven, but it's been a long time since I watched that one with Lee Marvin. And, oh, shoot. Who's not in that one? Anyway, I'm not going to go into that because I don't remember. But, yeah, I did. I have watched the original Magnificent Seven, and I don't remember enough of it to be able to compare. But anyway, I really did like this new one. You know, it's kind of, you got these six guys and one girl going up against this whole, you know, powerful gang of people. And it's this town, I can't remember, shoot, I'm not very good at this, am I? I should take better notes, I guess. Yeah, I think, you know, Denzel Washington is a really good actor and, you know, played the character really well, and just everybody did a good job. Of course, they were fighting impossible odds, and not all of them survived the ordeal. But that's kind of the point, right, of the Magnificent Seven is, you know, they're the ones that are going to stand against the impossible odds. And the characterizations were good, and it was just a good Western, I thought. It's good to watch a good Western every now and then. And this is definitely a good one. I liked all the characters' interaction, and thought it was pretty realistic.
Well, I know that's not much, but she's got it where it counts, kid. I don't know. So that's the first few movies that I talked about in this series of Netflix Q episodes, and there's more to come. This one, I kind of pulled a few things out of it for other purposes, so it was a little bit longer in its original recording, but hopefully you got something out of my first round of rambling about movies that I've seen on Netflix. Like I said, there's more to come, so strap in. I wish I had the time to sit down and have, you know, more things researched and go into more depth, but you know, it is what it is. So yeah, I guess this is literally what is strewn along the path. Bye bye now.
How's that? Sorry, Bria. Or Keith, or who's ever listening to this. For being so rude.